Welcome back to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. Does a difficult childhood lead to a troubled life as an adult? A growing body of medical evidence indicates that childhood traumas, particularly abuse, neglect, and family dysfunction, may be major risk factors for poor health and quality of life in later years, including early death. Adult survivors often want to bury the past and simply move forward. But as the end of life draws near, many elders search for a way to let go of these burdens. Some of them have never dealt with their painful past and don't want to die holding on to these thoughts and memories.
The hope of resolving issues and achieving peace before it's too late is not an unrealistic one, according to our next guest. Lisa Kendall is a licensed clinical social worker specializing in the areas of aging, elder care, trauma, and adult survivors of childhood abuse issues. A former senior consultant for Work and Family Services at Cornell University, she speaks on elder care and mental health at the national level. Lisa Kendall joins us to discuss trauma resolution during the senior years from her office in Ithaca, New York. Welcome to Take Care, Lisa, and thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. I'm really glad to be here with you today.
Confronting trauma is painful. Why would someone who's avoided the pain for decades decide to do it in their final years?
I think it's a wonderful question, and there are a couple of layers to the response to that. I think one reason is that developmentally, elderhood is a distinct stage of life that does include physical decline, but also includes opportunities for growth. And I think people towards the end of their lives have perhaps more time to sort of think about the past. Maybe they were really busy raising kids and working and so on. And then in retirement, they find that some of the painful memories are resurfacing for them. They're just not able to sort of busy them away. So in elderhood, I think a lot of people are seeking to resolve old traumas or painful memories because they notice them more, they're coming up more, and because it is a stage of life where people can do that work of looking back over their life to decide whether it had meaning, did their time here on earth have meaning, did it all make sense. Eric Erickson, the developmental psychologist, talked about elders needing to resolve the question of integrity versus despair. And integrity means it did all make sense. I made mistakes, but I learned things along the way. Despair is that feeling of, oh my gosh, I never felt good about myself. People always picked on me. I haven't been happy. I don't know why I even existed at all. It's a terrible place to be.
To come to a resolution, you have to dig deep probably into some very upsetting and disturbing feelings. How do you begin the process with someone who's pushed those issues aside for so many years? Tell us about your experience working with them.
My first task is really to create a safe space for the person who might be coming to me for some counseling. And they may not even be aware that it's old trauma or old family dysfunction that's actually bothering them. So I need to get to know them well, and they need to get to know me so that I can be a trusting and trusted person for them. And the second thing I do is education about how our brains receive and process or don't process frightening experiences or difficult experiences. So I do education about that. I start with teaching folks some really simple ways to resolve anxiety and to deal with depression symptoms if they're having those. I also take a family history. I take a look back several generations and forward if people have children and grandchildren and even great-grandchildren. And I just get a sense if there are patterns that were repeated. So that gives me some clues. And when the person is ready, and I really want to hear their stories, but then I also, if they're ready and it seems appropriate, can employ a technique called EMDR. And that stands for eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing. And that's a technique that's been around for about 30 years. It's used often for veterans returning from combat who have post-traumatic stress syndrome. And it's something that we've discovered more recently can be used effectively in people who have painful memories from childhood or any other part of their life.
So you're mentioning EMDR, which is a whole topic in and of itself, and I have had experience with that, and it's quite effective, but it's still not necessarily. Some people have questions about it, but between the EMDR and you're describing the need for creating a safe space, that does suggest that you're going into places which can be dark, which can be devastating for somebody, so that they need a safe space to retreat to. I guess my question is, do we have to relive those bad experiences and memories? Is that necessary in order to work through the pain of what happened?
Well, here's the critical difference, and that's a wonderful question. It's possible to just work on helping people lower their anxiety or help them feel better, maybe do more and be more active. And for some people, that is enough. I think what we're talking about is the difference between really core issues of self-esteem or feeling safe that come up for some folks if they've had these difficult early experiences. So whatever technique we use, we really want to just be aware of the trauma, and every single person is different. So being aware of that and really honoring where that person is can be helpful. The EMDR, I have also heard stories about people who had bad experiences, but in every case, they had not been prepared. I use a phase model of EMDR or any trauma-informed approach that really ensures that the person has the ability to go there and to calm themselves if they do become upset. You see people right in front of your eyes processing difficult memories and reframing them and getting out of the mindset that they've carried since children, that they were somehow unsafe or unlovable, that they just were not good enough. And that's a common theme for people who've had difficult experiences early on in life.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And we are speaking with Lisa Kendall, a licensed clinical social worker who specializes in the areas of aging, elder care, trauma, and adult survivors of childhood abuse issues. And that's our topic today. Lisa, I wondered if you talked about awareness of trauma. When you are working with individuals, do you find that they know specifically what those traumatic issues are, or is it a process for them and for you to recover some memories that may be buried and somewhat vague?
To be honest, so far in my experience, people are aware. They maybe haven't understood that the different messages they received in earlier in life are still impacting them. So that's where the education comes in. But I'm not digging around for things that have been hidden generally. I'm sure that happens for some people, but I think painful memories are much more common than we realize. But when people think about it, they'll realize, yes, they were exposed to violence in the home or a lot of fighting and shouting, or they had a parent who was abusive, addicted, or mentally ill, and that created some chaos in their childhood. And these are things that a lot of people are living with and doing pretty well with. We just sometimes have to think about those in a different way and provide people either talk therapy, which can be just as effective as EMDR in terms of how people are functioning and how they're doing. So I think it's just really important to recognize every person is different. But most often in my experience, they are aware of the things that have happened to them, but they maybe dismiss it or they don't fully understand the impact that it can have. I've heard clients tell me terrible things that happened to them when they were children, and they may laugh it off as they're telling me the story. And if it's not a problem for them, then it's not a problem, you know. But if those things that happened are causing a pervasive sense of low self-esteem or anxiety, then they do need to be looked at if they want to improve.
It must be a tremendous relief for them to finally be talking about some of these issues that maybe they didn't give full attention to throughout the main part of their life. But I wonder, at the end of the process, do individuals ever express regret and say something like, boy, I wish I'd faced this sooner, when they realize it could have improved their peace of mind, well-being, and even some of the relationships during the middle part of their life.
I think those kinds of feelings do come up for folks, and it's all part of the therapeutic process to deal with those and really to remind them and all of us that we are doing the very best we can at any given moment, and when we learn better, we do better, and to sort of alleviate any guilt about that, that's something that actually can be processed either with talk therapy or with EMDR as well. We also have a future orientation. So we take a look at, you know, when is the likelihood that a situation that might have been triggering could come up again, and we give people skills and exercises and techniques to cope with those ahead of time, hoping that they will help.
I'm sure it varies from individual to individual, but how long does the process usually take? And I realize it depends on who you're with, how they're processing everything, etc. But in general, through your experiences, are we talking months? Are we talking years? What is the process usually like?
I'm fairly new to EMDR, even though I'm not new to talk therapy. And my experience and what I understand from the literature is that if somebody has had a single painful event, maybe even one or two of them, like a car accident or a specific death of a loved one, that the process can work very quickly, sometimes in just one or two sessions, although I'm really careful myself to do that strength training before people get into the actual process of EMDR. Other folks who've had sort of chronic trauma, maybe they were sexually abused or neglected over years of time, and I know many people who continue to be traumatized by painful relationships with loved ones who may be abusive, dismissive, and so on. And in those cases, we really are talking about a longer period of time. It could be months or even years. I'm sort of experimenting. There's not a lot in the literature about working with elders and this process. So I'm experimenting with what it is that will work for them and still honor that developmental stage of elderhood, where one of the most powerful gifts elders can give us is their story.
Lisa Kendall is a licensed clinical social worker specializing in the areas of aging, elder care, trauma, and adult survivors of childhood abuse. She spoke to us today from her office in Ithaca, New York. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Really appreciate being here.
We have additional information on Lisa Kendall and trauma resolution during the senior years. Just visit us at the Take Care page at wrvo.org, where you can listen to all of our past interviews. Podcasts of today's show are also available on iTunes.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show. If you've got questions or comments about our topics or guests, email us at takecare@wrvo.org.
And we welcome your suggestions on subjects for upcoming episodes. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And until next time, take care.
The information presented on Take Care is offered for educational and informational purposes only and should not be construed as personal medical advice. You should consult with your personal physician or caregiver regarding your own medical care. Take Care is a production of WRVO Public Media, written and produced by Lorraine Rapp and Linda Lowen, edited and engineered by Leah Landry. Catherine Loper is executive producer. Support for Take Care comes from the Health Foundation for Western and Central New York.